This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today I will hear God's word. My life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Speak to me, Lord, for I'm listening. My ears are open. My heart is attentive. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you're going to do in me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word, and we're so grateful that you sent it here to accomplish something here today, because you're the God of today. You're the God of this very moment. You're alive and active in this place. You're alive and active in the hearts and lives of those that have gathered here today. So, Lord, as your word goes forth, we're looking for the manifestation of it. You said you said it and it became. You said it and it became. You said it and it became. So these words that are spoken today will become in our presence today. And we'll never cease to give you all glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. First, he says in our text this morning, he says, I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Amen. So first, to support. Now, each one of you is sitting in a chair, and that chair has four legs. And if that chair didn't have those four legs, you wouldn't be sitting up. You'd be sitting down. Amen. Down further than what you're sitting, okay? You'd be a little closer to the ground. And God calls the body together to support one another. We're gathered together to hold one another up. God didn't call anybody in this house to tear anybody down. God's in the building business. One day, things will be torn down. But until that trumpet sounds, things are still being built up. Amen. But he says to us that we're to support the weak. That word weak comes from the Greek word asthenia. It's spelled A-S-T-H-E-N-E-A. Asthenia. It's probably I-A. Asthenia. Asthenia. Asthenia means feeble, sick. Amen. Amen. So he said, we remember the words of the Lord Jesus, and so laboring we ought to support, lift up, help the feeble, the sick, the broken, the captives, the prisoners. Actually, this is the word becoming. You know, we listened to what our brother said about the word. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. The word is in here. The word is in you. The word is Jesus. Amen. And as we're looking at this, God wants us to understand that we're here for each other. Look with me to in Acts. Not Acts. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Excuse me. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're looking at to support the weak. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 22. He says, to the weak became I as weak. Now, wait a minute. The Apostle Paul is a mighty man of God. Weak in the word means asthenia, means to be feeble or to be sick. Paul didn't become sick. But Paul came to a place that he was recognizing where they were. Amen. In other words, he didn't take on their sickness. Jesus took on our sicknesses. Jesus bears our infirmities. But we have to relate with them to understand what they're going through. Yeah, in other words, sometimes if you can't enter where someone's at, you can never bring them out from where they're at to take them where God wants to bring them to. So Paul says, to the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. In other words, not that he would gain the weak, that they would be healed, that they would be restored, that they would be new, renewed. He said, I have made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. That word save comes from the Greek word sozo. Sozo means to heal body, mind, soul, and spirit. In other words, if I can't enter where you're at and have compassion where you're at, I can never help you get out of it. Amen. So many times you want to say, don't hang around me, you're sick. No, God wants us to relate with it. Paul says, I became sick. In other words, I didn't get sick in body, but in my mind, I had revelation and understanding of what they were going through so I could be an assistance, so that I could encourage them, so that I could build them up, so that I could comfort them. Amen. Amen. Hey, we're in this together. God never called anybody alone. Amen. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. You know, it's all about compassion. Compassion. You know, I love Webster's definition of compassion. One of the definitions is sympathetic concern for the suffering of another with inclination to give help or support. Sympathetic concern for the suffering. In other words, if you've never entered into their suffering, you can't have any sympathy for them. Amen? And if you can't have sympathy for them, you can't have compassion. Because it's sympathetic concern for another, the suffering of another with inclination to give help or support. He says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, he says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Amen. And as the body, as supporters, we're supporters of one another. Amen. Amen. And we're to understand that according to the word of God, according to Jesus, God's word, he says, when one suffer, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. So, hey, when we're laying hands on the sick, we got to have compassion. We got to come to the place where we realize where they're at. With a heart, then I'll keep them there. Amen. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 15. Romans 15. He said, we then that are strong, in verse 1, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Amen. And in other words, we're here to build one another up. You know, I don't know about you, man, but there's enough tearing down that's going on in this world. Amen. I believe we can't find something good to say, shut up. I hear the Holy Ghost saying, if you don't have something good to say, shut up. Shut up. Because every time you open your mouth, you stick your foot in it. God's in the building business. He in the tearing down. This world's coming to destroy, to kill, and to steal, but God came to give us life in the abundance thereof. We need to be encouragers to one another. Amen? We need to build one another up. Hallelujah. Wasn't the message, but it came for free. Hallelujah. He said, to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Yes. To remember the words of the Lord Jesus. So every time we're faced with a situation or every time we're in a place and facing a circumstance, what God says is the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance those things of Jesus, okay? He'll be a reminder in John 14:26, but the Comforter, whom is the Holy Ghost, and the Father will send in my name, he shall bring, he shall remind you, well, let me go there, he shall, before I misquote, because I get excited, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. In other words, the Holy Ghost is going to remind us in the words of Jesus. So when we're faced with that situation, we're faced with that storm, we're faced with that sickness, we're faced with that disease, we're faced with the battles that we go through in life, the Lord wants you to understand, remember the words of the Lord Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of the words of Jesus, because that is your comforter. That is your advocate. That is your help. That is your present help in time of need. There's not always going to be a man of God or a woman of God by you. Sometimes you're going to be all alone, and that's when the enemy really tries to attack you. And you got to remember the words of Jesus. Holy Ghost, reveal to me what Jesus says about this situation, and the Lord will show it to you. Amen. I want you to understand something today. God isn't hiding anything from his children. He put God in us to reveal it. Amen. God in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Praise God. Look with me in Hebrews chapter 13. We're talking about remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. That's the thought. Hebrews 13, verse number 3. The Word of God says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Amen. Remember those that are in bonds. Why? Well, they deserve it. They messed up. They committed the crime. They got to do the time. Well, that's not according to God's word. God's word says in Matthew 25, Jesus said, remember the words of Jesus? I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you gave me clothes. I was sick and you came to see me. I was in prison, you visited me. And they said, Lord, when did we do these things unto thee? And you said, he said, when you do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Word of God says in Luke chapter 6. Hallelujah. Verse 37. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. This is probably one of the biggest scriptures that's taken out of context when people use for giving of money. And what he's talking about is giving of love. He's talking about having compassion. He's talking about not judging one another. He's talking about not condemning one another. He's talking about forgiving one another. And he says, give and it shall be given unto you. If you don't judge, you're not going to be judged. If you don't condemn, you're not going to be condemned. If you give, it's going to be given back to you. Amen. If you forgive, you're going to be forgiven. Given, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. With the same measure that you meet or put out, with all it shall be measured to you again. Amen. I remember the old Flip Wilson. Here comes the judge, here comes the judge, here comes the judge. And that's so many times what the body of Christ looks like anymore. They come into the atmosphere, they come into the world, they come into the marketplace, and the people in the marketplace are saying, here comes the judge, here comes the judge, here comes the judge. God didn't call us to judge the world. Jesus said, I don't even judge the world. There's one that's following me that's a judge him. Amen. I've come to save the lost. I came to seek and to save them that which were lost. Hallelujah. He says, hey, we're not to judge anyone. We're not to condemn anyone. Amen. We're to forgive. Amen. In other words, I don't act like the world acts. I don't forgive because people deserve to be forgiven. If that was the truth, I never received forgiveness. Because I truly didn't deserve God's forgiveness. But God's unmerited favor and love was shining down. Amen. We're talking about healing. This is Healing Sunday. If you want to be healed, judge not, condemn not, forgive. Give and it shall be given back to you. Amen. All of a sudden there's a river that starts flowing. Amen. Look with me in Matthew chapter 13. He said not only to support, to remember. To remember what? The words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is better to give than to receive. All right? In other words, it's the heart of a giver. And 14 of Matthew 13, Jesus is speaking about the words that were spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He says, in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and they should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. Same word, sozo, so healing, body, mind, soul, and spirit. Then he says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You hear? Are you listening? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we can't stand, God isn't going to go outside of his word. And if God isn't going to go outside of his word, all he's saying to you and I, I've given you a helper. I've given you an advocate. I've given you the Holy Ghost to help you align with it. I am the bread. Man can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's his word. Amen. This isn't Carl's word. It's the Father's word. It's his Father's word. And it'll do everything he said it'll do. Look with me in Galatians chapter 6. And we're talking about giving. When we talk about giving, we're talking about supporting the weak. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary and well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Amen. We're one team. Today's Sunday NFL. There's some teams that'll go out there and they'll really get beat because they're not playing as a team. Some of them have some icons and some stars that are just in for them. Amen. And what God is saying, we're a team. Yes. We're a body. Yes. Amen. We all have a part. Yeah. Every last one that came into this room has a measure of faith. Every last one has some part. There's not one that came into this room that God didn't want to be in this room. And there's not one person in this room that God didn't want you to hear what he has to say today, or he wouldn't have drew you here. Some couldn't be here today because they couldn't take the message that would be here today. God knows it's not me, it's him. He's the one that's in control. But God wants to do something in everyone that's in this room. Amen? That's what makes me so excited about God. God isn't just a book. God's alive. God's well. God's in our presence. God's here to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ever asked for or even expected. We serve a big, big God. Amen? Turn with me, I guess, to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And then I guess I'll close this. And then we'll just look and see that he ain't good. Hallelujah. So we'll call this in closing. Oh, she's already, man, she popped up there, man. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 17. It was kind of interesting. I'm going to share this. I don't know why, but I'm going to share it. I just feel in my heart to share it. I was watching this meeting with Oral Roberts and Benny Hinn. And these two are just men too, but God used them tremendously. God used Benny Hinn to really minister my life for years. And still love him and respect him and honor him. But Oral Roberts was speaking about this young businessman that he had led to the Lord and how he had discipled this young man. And this man became a warrior for the kingdom of God, and he became very successful. He was a multimillionaire. And he came to Oral and he was crying. He said, "Well, you know, I can't tithe anymore. My wealth has expanded so great that I just can't give that much anymore." And I remember the words of Oral Roberts. He said, what I told the young man, I said, well, let me pray for you. And Oral Roberts said, Lord, I thank you for this servant. I thank you for the blessings that you bestowed upon him. Now, Lord, for his benefit, I ask you to decrease his wealth. So that he would be in the blessing. So he'd be operating in the flow of blessing. And all of a sudden, you know, hey, it's God's word, not mine. She said, bring all your tithe to the storehouse and see if I want to pour you out a blessing that you won't be able to bear. You won't be able to contain it. And all of a sudden he said, don't pray that. Don't pray that. I hear the Lord. I hear what he's saying to my heart. And that millionaire began to do what God called him to do, and he became a billionaire. And matter of fact, he's one of the most wealthy men in the world today. But he's a godly wealthy man. He's given, he brings his first fruits in. We give, you know, when I lay down my tithe, I'm not asking for anything back. But I know, according to God, I am blessed. I know that everything that I own is blessed. I know that I walk in the favor of God. Amen. God wants you to know that he has favor that shines over your life. That he called you by name and you belong to him. Amen. So he says this, and that's why, I don't know, when I got to this 1 Timothy chapter 6, evidently that was for someone, whoever it was, say amen, amen. Because the Apostle Paul says to his student Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation, against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. You know, the Apostle Paul says, hey, You know, that we're to support the weak. That we're to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. But at the same time, I can't outgive God. I can't outgive him. You can't outgive God. You know, the Word of God declares in 1 John chapter 3. I think it's funny. I think it's funny. I see in congregations in the body of Christ. You know, anytime you talk about money, so many times people start cringing. I'm not taking up an offering. I'm not calling for an offering. I'm invoking blessings. I'm teaching what God's word says, how the blessings flow. God doesn't go outside of his word. Amen. But he says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 22, he said, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and we do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Amen. So in closing today, simply this. Hey, this is Miracle Healing Sunday. And it's no different than any other Sunday. God's a healer every Sunday. He's a healer every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Again, he's the God, he's the Lord that heals us. But this is a time when we come together and pray for one another and stand in agreement for one another and support one another. And if you're sick in body, I ask you to come. We want to stand in agreement with you. Maybe you're facing a need, or maybe you're facing a circumstance or a situation that you need help with. We're here to stand in agreement with you. And at this transition of the service, when we move into the prayer, if you feel like you have to leave,